Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
He has a message that he wants to get out into the world. And you know, you've heard about it for years. There's that telegraph, telephone, telewoman. God wants to get his message out into the world. And women, there's no accident that you have all those words that are inside of you that need to come out. God gave me a message for us this morning called Empowered to Witness. It's going to flow a little bit with what we did last night, but it's going to bring us up to another whole level. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We usually have a clear pulpit, so I'm just trying to manage this beautiful thing so that I can just connect with you as well as see my notes. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Let's turn there. This is a chapter that records the last instructions of Jesus to his followers. Jesus spoke these words 40 days after his resurrection and 10 days before the day of Pentecost. So these words will be familiar to many of you. We're going to read 11 verses beginning in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. The former treatise, and I'm reading from the King James Bible today. So the former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a part of that time, that season where they already had seen him resurrect, they seen him walk. My God, what, and you know there were miracles. You know there were other things that were going on. But it was so powerful to think of that. Now, and then verse 4, it goes on to say, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Think of the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. If you think of it in that way, you will never be critical of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the method that God uses to get his Spirit to you and how he uses your own voice, your own tongue to speak and declare the wonders of God. It is the promise of the Father. A wonderful promise that he knows we need. You know, when you promise somebody something, it's because you know they will value it, they will treasure it, and I value that. So let's continue, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Destrehan might be considered that by many people. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So this is, of course, a glimpse into what we're about to experience as a church, the rapture of the church. So that's a beautiful thing. But until that time, God has empowered us to do a job. He has a message that he wants to get out into the world. And you know, you've heard about it for years. There's that telegraph, telephone, telewoman. God wants to get his message out into the world. And women, there's no accident that you have all those words that are inside of you that need to come out. So God has called you to be a witness for him. So let's make sure the things that are coming out of our mouth, glorify Him, and fulfill His plan for our lives, because that's truly the only way that we'll all be happy and fulfilled. Amen? That's what God is called. The first point of my message this morning is Jesus gave His followers mission-critical information so that they could go and do the work that He instructed them to do. See, when God gives you an assignment, He always gives you the tools, He gives you the anointing, He gives you the blueprint, basically, the plan, the game plan to get the job done. So this is mission-critical stuff that He was just telling them, and what was recorded in this book by Luke that wrote the book of Acts. And so it's wonderful things that we need to know. Amen? See, in Paul's writings, we're told that over 500 of Jesus' followers heard these instructions that day. And we know that there were 120 men and women in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. So what happened to those 24% of that 500? Because at the 100, if you do calculate that, 500 people, there are about 500. It was more than that, Paul said when he wrote 1 Corinthians, it was in chapter 15, if you can go and look at that. But that was about 24% of those 500. So I wonder what happened to the rest, the 76%. So if you just want to give it a little generality, about a fourth of the people that you, which compares to Mark chapter 4, where there was the seed that's thrown out there and it fell on stony ground, it's thrown on these other places, but only good ground was that fourth, that 25%. So our responsibility is to tell it, and God and we just do what God calls us to, and realize that there every now and then, maybe a fourth of the time that you share, that you witness, you're going to hit some good ground, and it'll be worth it, because when they grow up, they're going to reproduce, and maybe they'll be the one that teaches that other person that maybe you could not reach. But that's why it's important for all of us to do our part. I'm not going to reach them all. You're not going to reach them all. But all of us together, everyone can reach one. Amen? That's our calling today. See, Jesus commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for that promise of the Father. He wanted them all to be baptized of the Holy Ghost. And this was mission-critical information to impart the power that they would need to be His witnesses in the earth. So now, this Greek word for power is dunamis. You probably, most of y'all know this. And it refers to one's ability or capacity, and it suggests being able or being capable of something. So it empowers you. This word power was something that was significant. God knew that we needed this. We need this to just live life. We don't want to just exist. We want to thrive in life. Amen? This is why when we embrace Jesus, He transforms us from the inside out. And we're changed. We're not that old girl we used to be. We're a new chick. I have this sign someone gave me because I heard about it. In fact, I saw it in a motorcycle shop when Jesse and I were, we've given away our motorcycles, but there was a good season of our life where we did a lot of motorcycle trips. We don't have time for that now. But we would get on the motorcycle, we'd travel from town to town, we go with friends, and we were on one trip with Phyllis and Keith Moore, and we went into a motorcycle shop, because even if you have a motorcycle, that's what the men like to do. They like to go and look at motorcycles and shop for gear or just look and see what's new out there. And so we were in there, of course. I went into the restroom there, and because it was a little break we were taking, and I saw this sign on the wall that said that there's a skinny girl that lives inside of me that's trying to get out, but I can shut her up with cookies. I'm not a big cookie person, but ice cream does it for me. So I'm just saying that all of us have something inside of us that needs, and the Spirit of God, when He comes within you, He wants to get out there. Yeah. Don't go shrink back into your old self and do your own way. Realize that God wants to help you to blossom like a beautiful rose, like something that the world has never seen, a unique person, one of a kind. You know that there's not one of us that have the same fingerprints. And not only that, everyone has their own unique way of walking. They're finding more and more about with this facial recognition. There's so many other things that are unique to a person. So God created us this way intentionally, So don't try to copy someone else and be like someone else. Be your own person, realizing that God didn't make any mistakes. He knew what He was doing. Amen? Glory to God. So the Holy Ghost was given to us to empower us to do what God asks us to do. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, just a few pages over. The power that we receive from the Holy Ghost will produce courage, confidence, insight, ability, and boldness to fulfill the plan of God in the earth. So let's read about what happened when Peter and John were arrested for healing a crippled man at the temple gate. Notice that these people were so transformed. They were hiding in a corner, hiding in an upper room before when Jesus was crucified. And then after the day of Pentecost, which we didn't read today, but you can read it yourself. Most of you have already done that. That power did come. Acts chapter 2 records all of it and how there were thousands that heard the message in the streets. Maybe some of those 76% were in the street. Maybe they didn't quite make it up to the room, but I believe they were in the area and they were part of that experience. They ended up hearing at least what God was doing, and it wasn't long before they entered in as well, I'm sure. So Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. We're just going to read 7 verses. Verse 7, and when they had set, because they had been arrested, I told you that, right? Okay, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Notice it says, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. Notice how he managed to get the whole gospel message out in his answer. Yeah. You know, you can give a little quick one-word answer or you can give it all. Throw it all out there. Why not, right? They had an audience, and they took advantage of their opportunity. And verse 11 goes on to say, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there their salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Praise the Lord. See, Peter and John were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus, and they did it. They didn't shrink back. They stepped in with both feet, and they gave them both barrels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they went back to their company and they prayed for more boldness. You know, when you get a taste of boldness, you're going to want more. It's just like when you taste good gumbo, you're going to want more. We have good food here in South Louisiana. When you taste the good food, we travel a lot of places and we don't go there to eat. Although there's some good things out there, but there's nothing that can compare with the food that we have here. And so, but when you have that, you want more of it. It just happens that way. I don't know. It's just when you have the best, you don't want the rest. Right? Let's continue reading Acts chapter 4. Just jump down to verse 20. This is their bold response. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Because they were trying to tell them to shut up, stop talking about all this. No, I can't help you. I don't have an off switch. I'm sorry. I have to do what Jesus told me to do. You know, we all, during the whole COVID thing, a lot of people got trapped up by Romans chapter 13, thinking that you have to submit and listen to all authority. There is some truth in that, and they're there for us for good. But when they step away and start doing things that are not right, we're under no obligation to sit there and take whatever they throw down at us. There's at least, you can go down. There's many, many instances of what I call civil disobedience. That means that we listen to God and not to man. So what happened when Pharaoh wanted these midwives to kill all the male children? No, they found a way to not. They didn't obey that wrong law.
That's right.
Same thing with Jochebed, Moses' mother. She hid him, and she did not throw him into the river or kill him. She didn't listen to that wrong law or submit to the wrong teaching. Daniel didn't bow, refused to bow. They told him, if you prayed, then you would throw you to the lions. Well, he went to the lions, but God protected him. So no matter what you go through, God will protect you and see you through, and he will get the glory for it. The three Hebrew children were told that they had to bow down to the golden statue or they would be thrown into that fiery furnace. They did not bow. They went into the furnace, but they weren't just three, they were four. And God delivered them. There is a time and a place to obey all the rules and the laws, but there's a time and a place that you listen to the Holy Spirit and you do what God tells you to do. The whole world has been sucked into this stupid deception in a lot of ways, and unless you're reading the Word of God and you're listening to good teaching, people are going to be sucked into the tactics of the stage is being set for the Antichrist. So read it and weep. If you don't want to listen to it, you may participate with it. But we don't want any of our families to be here after the rapture. We want all of them to come to heaven with us, because nobody wants to be here during that 7-year great tribulation. That is called the wrath of God being poured out on earth. And it's really a judgment to still hope and give them opportunities to turn to God. So it's still God in his mercy reaching out to mankind, giving them hope and answers, even when things look difficult. It's like a wake-up call. You know when that alarm goes off and you're sleeping good? You don't want to hear that. I don't know what kind of alarm you have, but if you have one that's nice and smooth, soothing music, you're probably not going to wake up. But if it's it's an irritating one, you're going to get up to go shut that thing down. I have an alarm on my iPhone. I call it an iPhone right now, but it's really an us phone. Y'all believe with me, I'm praying for Jesse to use his own phone. So it's the us phone. So when we're traveling, I put the alarm on the us phone so it can wake us up at the right time. And it's not a pleasant sound because we want to wake up. We set the alarm for a reason. So the alarms are there for good. It's for your good. And so God wants to, his word is basically an alarm clock. The prophets that he sends into the earth, they're alarm clocks speaking truth to help us to know what's going on and to find our way. Amen. So let's continue reading in Acts chapter 4. Just drop down to verse 29. We're just skipping through this powerful story. And it just one part of it. I just don't want us to miss this. And I'd love for you to see it with your own eyes. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, this is after they went to their company and they told them everything that had happened. And this was a prayer that they were praying. And this is a good prayer you can pray. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Hallelujah. That's what's called answered prayer. Amen. See, point number two is bold, faith-filled prayer engages heaven and empowers believers to be effective witnesses for Jesus. Bold, faith-filled prayer engages heaven. Think about that. And empowers believers to be effective witnesses for Jesus. Don't you just love the fact that when you pray, God hears you? The fact that he even asks you to pray is significant. And when we pray, we connect with heaven and God is able to move in the earth. It's been said that God will not do anything unless we pray and ask him, invite him into this world to move. Because he's given authority to mankind. So it's up to us to invite him in and ask him. And so it's wonderful the way we hear him encouraging us and teaching us. And we follow Jesus' example where he prayed. The disciples saw Jesus do many, many beautiful, wonderful things. But notice that he didn't. The Bible doesn't record that he asked them about how to do these other things. They asked him, how do we pray? And so prayer was the key to his power. They recognized that. He spent time with God. Let's turn to 1 John. chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Many of us have had the wrong mindset about being an effective witness for Jesus. You know, and that word witness was a translation of the Greek word martyrs. And that word martyr is, the martyr actually has come from the same word. The Greek word is M-A-R-T-Y-S, but our word martyr is M-A-R-T-Y-R. And so it's pretty much the same word, and it's a legal term describing one who testifies in court about something he or she had personally seen. So they became a martyr because they spoke up and said what God called them to say. Amen? And so they stood for something, and this is, in a court of law, hearsay witness is not permitted. Only firsthand knowledge is allowed. And so the most effective witness of a testimony is always going to be by personal experience. You saw it yourself. And let's see this in 1 John chapter 1. I want us to read verse 1 through down through verse 4. This is John, the beloved apostle, the youngest of all the apostles, who's the one that you hear about, how he put his head on Jesus' chest during the Last Supper. And he wrote the Gospel of John, of course, and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation. So we have lots that we can learn from John. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 John, the epistle. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hearts have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So that was his purpose for writing this. John was empowered to be a witness for Jesus. And he didn't get it because he walked with Jesus for the 3 years. No, it was at that upper room.
I hope you're enjoying today's program. I want to tell you about this month's partner offer, the difference between enough and all. God doesn't want you to be satisfied with just enough. Enough runs out. But if you dedicate yourself entirely to the Lord, you get in position to receive all of his goodness, and that's heaven on earth. Do you hear me? Heaven on earth. Find out how to get it at jdm.org.
Hello, I love telling the world about the glorious things that God's done. Psalms 118, verse 15 in the NLT says, songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. Let's begin with this testimony today. It says, God has just answered my prayer that I have prayed for years. He has made it possible for me to get out from under my mortgage that made it impossible for me to have any life. I lived only to get from one check to another. Now I have the freedom to go to dinner with my friends, buy a new blouse, or go to a movie without worrying about every penny. Thank you, Jesse and Kathy, for praying with me and for me. Thank you for all the letters of support and for always being there for me. Praise God. I love that. This next one says, Jesse, the joy you and Kathy have is infectious to me. I have been praying over my life, my checkbook, my savings account, as well as for wisdom and the anointing to live life in abundance to the full until it overflows. It's amazing the changes for good and increase I've seen so that I can be a blessing to others and in my own life. I love that. This other one says, I want to thank you for praying in agreement with me for my son's healing in his hip. He is so much better. He's outside the house helping the painters paint our house. Thanks for your prayers and for all you do. God is so good. This last one says, this listening to you really helps. In 2014, you preached a sermon that greatly impacted me. That day I knew I was on a mission for God and got my direction. My path was set through your preaching. Thank you. You know, Jesse and I are thankful to God for our partners that help us to spread the gospel of Jesus and make each glorious moment possible. Together, we're reaching people and changing lives one soul at a time. God bless you.
You know, God is the creator, and we should be creators too. In my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist, I reveal some of my vision impacting experiences so that you can make your vision real God's way. God wants you blessed and excited about your future. Order Notes from a Vision Specialist and decide to make the vision real.
Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation amount of $5 or more at JDM.org.
I hope you enjoyed Kathy's message from last year's Glorious Conference. This year, Glorious Women's Conference is next week. It's Friday, March the 7th, and Saturday, March the 8th. Admission and registration are free. You don't hear about that too much. We always do it free. How do you want more information? Go to JDM.org and get all that information right there. If you can't be here in person, we want you to be, but if you can't, you can join us live on our social media platforms and on our free JDM app. Are you ready to see God-given dreams come to pass? This month, I like this. My product offer is such a blessing. It's my newest book entitled Notes from a Vision Specialist. I am a vision specialist. I don't mean that pridefully. I know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. It'll teach you how to expand your thinking and prepare for success. And don't you want to succeed? Now, to get your copy, all you got to do is go to JDM.org. For all the information, you'll be blessed. You can also watch today this message in full, along with hundreds, you heard me say hundreds, of messages by Kathy and me on our free JDM app. It's our mission and a blessing to help you grow stronger in the Lord. That's what we do. Partners, thank you. I can't thank you enough for what you do. 49 years of preaching this gospel and never had a financial deficit. Partners, we are doing something together that's phenomenal. We're reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. You know, I say it all the time. People say, when you're going to retire? Don't believe I ever will. Why? Because we've got to complete this destiny and reach the destination, which is to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Thank you, partner. Nothing too small, nothing too big. I tell you, it will be a blessing. 100% goes in the world evangelism. Thank you for being so courteous and kind. We're going to have a glorious, glorious year this year. See you next week. God bless you. And He does. Bye-bye.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis' Glorious, a Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
There's so many people say, I don't believe in that faith business. That's why you look the way you look. That's why you live the way you live. You climb in mountains instead of dissolving mountains. You spend your whole Christian life climbing a mountain you should have never climbed. When He said, say unto that mountain, be thou removed.